We're learning Gemara Megillah. We're up to Chaf Bet Amud Bet, the second wide line, about seven lines from the bottom, the last two words on the line, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Braisa that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya or Rav Hoshaya, and the Braisa is going to define for us different terms of bowing that appear in the Tanakh. So, Keda, whenever you encounter the word Keda, that means Alapayim, that he bows down all the way face down. Shenemar, the verse says, Vatikot Batsheva Apayim Aretz. Batsheva bowed with her face down to the floor. Kiri'ah, when you encounter the word Kiri'ah, that means Al Birkaim, bowing down to the knees. V'chen Umer, Michro'ah Al Birkav, that King Solomon got up from bowing on his knees. So you see, kriya means to bow on one's knees. Hishtachava'a, that term means opishut yadayim eraglayim, to spread one's hands and feet all the way out, to bow flat down onto the floor. Shenemar, as the verse says, avon avon ibi mechava achecha, lishtachavot lecha arza, shall I and your mother and your brothers come to bow down to you all the way down to the floor. So it seems to indicate flat out. Levi achvi kida kamei de Rebbe. Levi showed Rebbe what kida is, how you bow with your face down too. Ve'itla, and then Levi he hurt his back. He got a limp. Ve'haka galmale, is that really what caused him to have this limp? Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Elazar told us, Lo'olam al yatir adam torin klape mala, asher adam gadol yatir torin klape mala ve'itla. There was a big man who he spoke improperly towards heaven, and that caused him to limp. So Rabbi Lezer says you should always be careful. Don't talk towards heaven in a way that's less than respectful, even if it's on behalf of the Jewish people. Because look at what happened to this big man, and who was he talking about? Umanu, and who is that? Levi. So you see, it seems that we have on tradition that the reason Levi had this problem was because he... because of the way he spoke towards heavens. Here it seems that it was a natural occurrence. He was bowing. He tried to get up from the bowing, and then he got a problem. Rashi explains that they'd bow all the way down on their thumbs until their face hit the floor. It was a way, I guess, you have to have a good back, and then. You straighten yourself up. Your face goes all the way down to the floor, and then you straighten yourself up. Now, to straighten yourself up without any assistance, if you're not very fit, so then the back can give way. Something can jump out of place, which is what happened with Levi. So Levi got a limp. So the Gemara says, which one is it? Is it because he was showing Rebbe how you... bend down all the way down to kiss the floor without any support and then straighten yourself up? Or is it because he spoke improperly towards heaven? Answers the Gemara, ha veha galmale. They both were the cause. Because he spoke that way, so then when he was at a time of risk, it didn't work out right for him. So we say, when God punishes a person, so God finds natural occurrences for it to occur. It's not just... out of the blue, he spoke improperly towards heaven, and the next moment he has a limp. No, that's not the way it works. Amar Rav Chiya Baravin, Chazin alu Abai v'Rava, Dematzlei Atzluye. I saw Abaye and Rava that when they would do Tachanon, when they would pray before God after Shemona Esrei, they tilt to their sides, because an important person doesn't fall face down before God in prayer, as we discussed last time. So that's how Abaye and Rava did it. They tilt to their sides. And that's what we do in Tachanun. We tilt, we put our arm under our face. We said in the Mishnah, B'yom Tov Chamisha, B'yom Kippurim Shisha. How many Aliyos do we read? How many people do we call up to the Torah? On Yom Tov 5, on Yom Kippur 6, etc. Matnitin Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Shmuel v'lo Rabbi Akiva. Throughout the Shas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva have the differences, and in this case our Mishnah doesn't fit with either one. Ditanya, for we have the following braisa. This is a Tosefta. The Tosefta says B'yom Tov, chamisha. In Yom Tov, you call up five people. So far, so good. B'yom HaKippurim, shisha. So far, so good. B'Shabbat, shiva. That's okay. En pochtin mehem, ben mosifin alein. You can't add. Our Mishnah said on Shabbos, you could add. So the Brisa says you can't detract, you can't add. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. So now we know that can't fit with our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva omer biyom tov chamisha. So far so good. Biyom Kippurim shiva. So that doesn't fit with our Mishnah. We don't have seven aliyas on Yom Kippur. Over Shabbat shisha. That also doesn't fit with our Mishnah. And 14 men, you can't detract of Mosifin alein. So at least in that. It could theoretically fit with our Mishnah, but he's not allocating the same number of alleles. Mani. So who's going to be the author of our Mishnah? I Rabbi Ishmael Kasha Tosefet. If it's Rabbi Ishmael, we have a problem because he doesn't allow you to add alleles, and our Mishnah allows us to add alleles on Shabbos. I Rabbi Akiva Kasha Shisha V'Shiva. If it's Rabbi Akiva, then he switched it. And the Braisa, he gives six aliyahs for Shabbos. We say seven. He gives seven aliyahs for Yom Kippur. We say six. Amarava Tanet Ber Bishmeli. Rava says it's the Braisa from the Academy of Rabbi Ishmael. The Tanet Ber Bishmeli. Because we have the following Braisa from Rabbi Ishmael's Academy. Biyom Tov Chamisha, Biyom Kippurim Shisha, Shabbat Shiva, En Pochtim Mena, V'Mosifin Lehen, Divrei Rabbi Ishmael. So the Tanet Ber Bishmael quotes Rabbi Ishmael's opinion exactly like our Mishnah. So you're right. In the Tosefta, Rabbi Ishmael doesn't allow you to add aliyos. But in the Tana Dever Rabbi Ishmael, in the Braisa quoted from his own academy, they say in his name exactly what it says in our Mishnah. So that works. Okay, we worked out our Mishnah. But now we have another problem. We have a contradiction in quotes in the name of Rabbi Ishmael. Kashid Rabbi Ishmael ad Rabbi Ishmael. We have a question of the two quotes in the name of Rabbi Ishmael. So we get the easy answer. You're right. There are two quotes in the name of Rabbi Ishmael. Two different Tanaim. Heard him differently. We have two different quotes. You're right. There is a contradiction. It's not the ideal answer. It's not what we would have liked to say. But okay, that's what the Gemara says. Onward. Says the Gemara, Man Tana Leha. Who's going to be the Tanakh opinion of this Braisa, the Tanya? It says in the Braisa as follows. Be Yom Tov Macharin Lavo. On Yom Tov, people come late, meaning we start shul later because people have to prepare the Yom Tov Suda. Remember, on Yom Tov itself, you're allowed to cook. People want good, fresh steak on Yom Tov. So they're firing up their barbecues. And they're putting their steaks out there, and they're getting everything ready, and then they come to shul, so that when they come home, they'll have food. So, okay, if you're going to fire up your barbecue, you can't come to davening at 5 o'clock in the morning. You got to wait till it's daylight, till you have good firewood, and then you go and get it, and then your wife has to make fresh bread for Yom Tov. You know, those things take time. So on Yom Tov, you got to start shul late. No vasikin minyan on Yom Tov. Yom Tov, people come late to shul. And people leave quickly because they have all this yummy food waiting for them. You don't want your steak to burn, right? On Yom Kippur, it's the opposite. No steaks on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, you come quick to shul. You start shul early. The seeking, everyone should come early to shul. There's a lot to do on Yom Kippur. And you're not rushing anywhere. There's no Yom Tov meal. So you stay longer. Shabbat, and on Shabbos, Memarin Lavo. You could come nice and early because all the food's ready. You ain't cooking on Shabbos. So you come to your Vasikin minyan. But you're also, you don't make davening too long because people want to leave already and go have their beautiful Shabbos meals. Leima Rabbi Akiva. So let's say this is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Itle Gavra Yetera. Because Rabbi Akiva permits you to add aliyos. Remember, Rabbi Akiva said you're allowed to add aliyos on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. So let's say this is Rabbi Akiva. Afilu tema Rabbi Ishmael, the nafish sidura diyoma. No, I could even say that it's Rabbi Ishmael because the order of the day is long enough. That's what it means, you stay longer. It doesn't have to be only adding aliyahs. On Yom Kippur, it's not because you're adding aliyahs that you stay late. It's because there's a lot of davening on Yom Kippur. Don't say that this brisa is Rabbi Akiva because he says you stay late because you had aliyos. No. Okay. We go on Shulchan Aruch with the opinion that on Shabbos you start late too. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that Shabbos people sleep later, start davening a little later. Okay. Says the Gemara, Hani Shlosha Chamisha Vishiva Kineged Mi. So the Gemara says, we have three aliyos, you have five aliyos, you have seven aliyos. What do they correspond to? Why these numbers? Kligi bar Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani v'chad d'ime. Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani and someone with him have a disagreement. Umanu, who is that someone else? Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. You remember him? Came to learn Torah for the gold. That's why it was called ben Pazi, right? And some say it was Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi and someone with him who had an argument. Umanu Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani. And who is that? That's Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani. And some say it was... Oh, I was waiting. I was wondering if you guys are awake or not. Why does that matter?
If they're both there. Like...
Right, so think about it for a minute. See if you can figure out the answer.
The importance of who the person is. Yeah. The rabbi. But the question is, why do they have to say... Do they have to say this rabbi and one other? Or can they just say both names, but the first one comes first?
No? And that it was Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani who had this machlokas. One said the three aliyos correspond, the three, five, and seven correspond to the blessing of the Kohanim. You have three words in the first blessing. Yivrecha Hashem Yishmerecha, three words. The second pasuk, Yor Hashem, Pono Veilecha, Lichunecha, that's five words. And the third pasuk has seven words. Yisa Hashem, Panav Elecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom. Seven words. So, one opinion says, corresponding to that, the rabbis instituted three, five, and seven. Okay. Do we understand that? Nah, these are deep concepts. Birchas Kohanim is very, very deep. We had it last week's parashah. B'chad amar, keneged shelosha shomrei asaf, chamisha meroei pnei ha-melech, shiva roei pnei ha-melech. Corresponds to the order of monarchy, of aristocracy. You have three gatekeepers, five of those who see the king, and seven who actually see the king. Okay, so that's some order they had in Persian aristocracy. We walked away with some things from the Persian order of aristocracy. Their high court had 120 people. Aharon Shekhinah Sagdola had 120 people. They had this 3, 5, and 7 system, so we also, our aristocracy, as we're going up towards reading the Torah, on a weekday it's 3, on a Yom Tov it's 5, on a Shabbos it's 7. Okay.
Didn't they institute this stuff before the exile? When was this instituted?
Good question. I don't know. We raised this a few times ago. I don't know. You could say that the Persians did not invent this concept, that we only find the indication in the verses about the Persian Empire. But as we saw in the beginning of Brachos, there seem to have been aristocratic norms that Chazal say the heavens correspond to as well. I don't know. Tani Rabbi Yosef Gimel Chamisha V'Shiva Shlosha Shomrei Asaf Chamisha Meroei Pnei HaMelech Shiva Roei Pnei HaMelech. So Rabbi Yosef quotes a brisa to this effect, that it corresponds like this to the order of aristocracy of the guards, those who see the king. Amale Abaye, so now Abaye, who is Rav Yosef's disciple, he said to him, Adai tam adhaidana, till now, my time alo parish lan mar, why didn't the rabbi teach us this? Amale lo aviyadana, ditzichatule, he said, I didn't know you needed it, I didn't know you didn't know this. Doesn't everyone know this brisa? Did you ever want something from me? I didn't give you. The Talmud curses someone who has Torah and he doesn't impart it to those who want it. Amar Yaakov mina l'Rabbi Yehuda. So Yaakov, the min is an acronym for Mitalmide Yeshu Notzri. Yaakov the min said to Rabbi Yehuda, Hani Shishad Yom Kippur Keneged Mi. The six of Yom Kippur, what do they correspond to? Amalei Keneged Shisha Shamdu Mimino Shel Ezra V'Shisha Mismolo. Corresponds to the six who stood to the right of Ezra and the six to the left. Shneimar, as the verse says, Le'yamod Ezra Sofer Al Migdal Etz Asher Asu La'davar Ve'yamod Le'daber La'davar, I don't remember. Ve'yamod Etzlo Matityah V'Shama V'Aniyah V'Uriyah V'Chilkiyah V'Masiyah Al Yemino V'Mismolo V'Tayah V'Mishel V'Malkiyah V'Chashum V'Chashbanda Tzchariyah V'Mishulam. Okay, so you see Ezra had six to his right and six to his left. Okay. Tosu says that you shouldn't read it Yaakov Mino'o. If you put a yud and a nun together, it becomes a tzadi. Yeah? Tzadi is really a yud and a nun together. He says it's a misprint. It should be Yaakov Matzo'o. Because if it were me, no, we wouldn't quote him by name. We don't give them the honor of mentioning their name in Talmud. If that's why you find throughout the Talmud, it says Ahu Mino. That min doesn't tell us who he was. We don't give him the honor of mentioning them by name. Okay. Says the Gemara. Hani Shiva Havu. Count, you end up with seven. Hainu Zchariya, Hainu Meshulam. So Talmud says, yeah, you're right. Zechariah and Meshulam are one and the same. He had two names. V'amai karu Meshulam. Why is he called Meshulam? The Mishlam Bovde. Because his actions are whole. He does things perfectly. Tanu Rabbanan. Another Braisa. This is also Tosefta here in Megillah. Hakol Olin Leminyan Shiva. Everyone counts for the seven people that you got to count up to the Torah. Vafilu katan, vafilu isha, even a minor, even a woman. Aval amru chachamim, isha lo tikra b'Torah mipnei kvod tzibur. But the rabbi said that it's not the honor of the congregation that she should be the one reading in the Torah. They should, one of the men should be the ones reading from the Torah. But technically, if a woman gets an aliyah, it's considered derisive to the congregation, but it's kosher.
You buy a loaf. Situation like that, but you have like five people and their wives living in some remote place, and they want, and you can't close the door.
Let them consult with their local Orthodox rabbi. You're assuming that five women count for the minion.
Right.
That's a different question.
Here, well, I know. If you can find a way to.
Let them ask their local Orthodox rabbi. If I were the rabbi, I'd prohibit it. For the simple reason that today the world is moving left. And you have minyanim where a girl has a bat mitzvah and they consider themselves modern and yet they use the title Orthodox.
I agree today you have a law. Theoretically, in the sense though, like you could technically.
Technically, yes. It's on Shulchan Aruch. You'll see it too.
And a minor too?
Used to be the minig that they'd call up a minor for maftir. Yeah. Ibailu, maftir maoshi alel minyan shiva. The guy who reads the Haftarah, can he count for one of the seven? Ravuna Ravyumi Abaraba, Chadamar Olev, Chadamar Eino Olev. One says he counts, one says he does not count. Manda Amar Olev Dakari. The one who says he counts as one of the seven, yeah, well, he reads. Manda Amar Eino Olev Kedula. Ula said, why is it that the guy who gets maftir reads from the Torah? It's only out of honor for the Torah that it shouldn't be a situation where you call the people for the Torah, now you call up someone for the Navi, it seems like they're equal. So technically he doesn't have to read from the Torah. It's not like he's one of those that count. He's just to show that the Navi is not on the same level as the Torah, we give him an aliyah for the Torah, and then he reads the Navi. It's not so they aren't equal. It doesn't look like, oh, you called up people to read Torah, now you call people to read Navi, they're all the same. They're not. It's two different levels. So we say, okay, he was called up for the Torah, and now he'll also read from the Navi. That's
so therefore, if the minor was called to read Maftir, will be also reading the prophets.
Yeah.
Can't the seventh aliyah just do that?
We don't do that. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That technically you need seven aliyahs aside from the maftir, because the maftir doesn't count. He's not a real aliyah. You're only calling him up to show that Navi isn't on the same level as Torah. So being that you don't really have to give him an aliyah, and being that it's only out of the honor of the Torah that you're calling him up, the minyana lo salik, he doesn't count as one of the people, because he doesn't, it's not really an obligatory as aliyah. It's just something we do to show that Navi is not on the same level as Torah.
But can't you just combine them into the last aliyah?
So no, that's the idea. Now technically, I mean, you could, but being that it's not one of the obligatory aliyahs, the maftir is not, so one of the ways we show it, we say, okay, you got to get seven aliyahs. Chris Torah, so you give seven aliyahs. And then the maftir is just to show.
But I don't see, you accomplish the same thing. You call up seven to get seven. And then whoever's the last guy, it's the Nevi'im, and he also.
Right, technically you could. That deserves a longer, different discussion. You're right, technically you could. But think about it and you'll see why you can't. You don't need me for the answer to this.
I asked this question already, but I forgot. Here in my community where I was in, sometimes they read the entire parasha, and then after, like, a person, last person to be called reads the entire portion till the aliyah of Maftir, and then Maftir go, the person that is school up for Maftir, he also repeats last two verses.
That's what we do too.
Yeah?
Look at any Chumash, that's what Maftir does, sure.
And sometimes doesn't happen in all week. Also, it doesn't happen in all
week. Every week we finish the Parsha and then Maftir repeats a little bit of it. Uh-huh. Yeah, every week. Pay attention, you'll see. Every Shabbos.
Can you just go back to the minor? Nowadays, would he still count? It's not the custom to call a minor for the Torah.
In Simchas Torah we do.
Everyone goes on the Simchas Torah.
Okay. I don't know. Not so many years ago, they used to give not a 5-year-old, but.
You can call women up too, but we don't, because it has a bunch of other problems.
But we technically, yeah.
But there's no problem with children.
You're telling me halacha, and then we have to learn the halachos. Right now we're learning Gemara. And the Gemara, that's what we just read.
That's very interesting, because yesterday...
Wait, there's a lot more that needs to be discussed here. That's what I'm saying. You're taking me to a new world.
But is the halacha like what the Gemara is saying?
We don't yet understand all the aspects of the Gemara. And again, you're throwing me into the sea of halacha, which means we have to discuss many other points, which we shouldn't really do here. Okay. So we ask, does Maftir count as one of the seven? And we brought two opinions. One opinion says he counts, one opinion says he doesn't count. The opinion that says he counts, well, that's because he reads. The opinion that says he does not count, that's going in line with Ula's opinion that says that the only reason Maftir reads from the Torah is out of honor for the Torah, and that's why he doesn't count. So we quoted two opinions. You guys are so interested in this, let's learn Tosus. One opinion says he counts, one opinion says he doesn't count as one of the seven. Rabbeinu Tam says we rule like the opinion that says he does count. That's why our custom is in line with this, that on a Tanis Tzibur at Mincha or on Tisha B'Av, the third aliyah, which is obligatory, is also the aliyah that does Maftir. And the same thing holds for Yom Kippur on Mincha, where the Maftir reads Yonah. We don't say get three aliyahs plus a Maftir, we give the third aliyah Maftir. So you see, you have to have three aliyahs and the third one counts. אבל בשבתות ובימים תמימים ביום כיפורים שחרית על השבת יום תבן יום כיפור in the morning המפתיר לא אבי מן המניין מפתיר is not one of the count תכיוון שמותר להוסיף עליהן being that you're technically allowed to add aliyos יכולים אנו לעשות מנהגנו עליבא דכולי עלמא we could fulfill everyone's opinion so we do seven aliyos on the parasha And then for maftir, instead of doing it the way you suggested, we try to fulfill the other opinion as well, and we don't count the maftir as one of the seven. He just repeats what someone else read. Technically we could, because as Rabbeinu Tam, we do rule that the maftir counts like one of the aliyos, but if we could fulfill both opinions, we do.
So, despite the fact that the maftir counts as its own aliyah, person to be called before the maftir, both reads the entire parasha till the place that the maftir is called?
Not on Shabbos, no. On Shabbos we finish it, and then the maftir repeats a little bit. Okay, you guys want to read the rest of Tosus? I think that we saw enough for all your questions. The rest of it is homework.
Yesterday I was listening to a class. First, about a boy that was an orphan and wanted to use tefillin.
I don't remember what I said, but I remember the boy. Yeah,
he went to talk with a big rabbi, and he said sometimes it doesn't matter what he wants. Like even if he has the knowledge and understanding of mitzvot, certain stuff he doesn't do because we don't do that. So can we associate a minor being called to an aliyah and a kid wanted to...
Thursday night, sorry, back to our Gemara. I'm sorry, we just our goal here is to cover the ground. I'm sorry. So we brought two opinions. Does Maftir count as one of the seven or does he not? So the Gemara now asks, we have the following quote. The one who reads Maftir has to read a minimum of 21 psukim. 21 psukim keneged shiva shekaru b'Torah. Three psukim corresponding to each one who read in the Torah. So you're going to read Maftir, Naftara. Every Haftara has a minimum of 21 psukim. Okay, except for one exception. So ordinarily we read 21 psukim, corresponding to what we read in the Torah. Three psukim for each one. Remember, the Haftarah was instituted in a time that there was a decree not to read in the Torah. So they instituted, we'll at least read from the prophet, something that corresponds to the Torah reading. And so they instituted three psukim for each aliyah you would have had in the Torah. Yeah? Seven aliyahs, three each. Minimum of 21 psukim in Maftir. Keneged shiva shekaru b'Torah. V'imita. And if you're telling me that the Maftir doesn't count, the maftir, you got to give him if you're going to say that he's not one of the count, then turns out you have 8 aliyahs on Shabbos, 7 plus a maftir. So you should have 24. Then you should have 24 psukim because you're counting 8 people. You're not only counting 7, you're counting 7 plus the maftir. If you're telling me the maftir is not one of the 7, turns out you call up 8 people on a Shabbos. That's what we do, right? Well, if that's what you do, then the Haftarah should correspond to all 8. 3 psukim each. You should have 24 psukim in the Haftarah. Answers the Gemara, Kevin de Mishum Kvot Torahu, being that the whole idea of the Maftir reading in the Torah is not really because he has to read. It's just out of the honor of the Torah that we do it. Kenegdo nami lo bai. You don't have to have a reading in the Haftarah corresponding to him. Technically, he's reading the Maftir. He's reading the Haftarah. You only let him read some of the Torah out of respect for the Torah, that people shouldn't come to equate the two. Matkip la Rava, Rava attacks. V'arei olotechem sifu. We have Haftarah in Jeremiah, what they call the 7th chapter. De'lo havin 21 v'karinan. It's not 21 psukim, and we do read that as Haftarah. And says the Gemara, shani hatam desalik inyana. Over there, it's one whole parsha, and you end the whole speech of Yirmiyahu, you end that prophecy, and it's less than 21 psukim, so what can you do? So one thought, though, so that's why we have this exception. When you don't end a topic in less than 21 psukim, you would not have after that's less than 21 psukim. V'amar Rav Shmuel bar Abba, but Rav Shmuel bar Abba taught, Zimin Sagin Abba Kimna Kamet Rav Yochanan, many times I was before Rav Yochanan, V'chiyav Karina Nasra Psukei, and when we read 10 Psukim, Amalan Afsiku, he'd say enough. We'd read 10 Psukim, and Rav Yochanan would say enough. You've read enough. Answers the Gemara, Makom Shesh Tugaman Shani. If there's a translator, so every Pasuk is twice as long, because you read it, and then the translator reads it. So over there, you can't keep the crowd waiting for you to read 21 psukim, which will be twice as long in such a crowd. You'll end up waiting as though you read 42 psukim. Detani Rav Techliva Bar Shmuel lo shenu ala b'mkom she'en tugeman. Because Rav Techliva Bar Shmuel taught this halacha that you read a minimum of 21 psukim is only where there is no translator. Av makom she'esh tugeman posek. But if there is a translator, then you stop before you hit 21 psukim. You don't keep the crowds waiting 21 psukim with translation, which is double the time. So in crowds where there is a translator, we do like Rav Yochanan, like Rav Techliva Torres in the Braisa, Rav Techliva Bar Shmuel. There you really read a shorter haftarah because it's twice as long.
But this is not Braisa today.